Welcome to the Wolfner Talking Book in Braille Library Podcast. Enhance your patron experience as you join us for the latest information, educational resources, and engaging interviews with the people working behind the scenes to ensure all Missourians may read. We are so glad you've joined us. Hi, I'm Chris Cowan, Tech 4 with the Wolfner Recording Studio. For the past couple of years, we've tried to provide our patrons with something special for Christmas. This year, we wanted to really up the game for you, so we'll be presenting you with a true Christmas classic. Of course, I'm talking about Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Now, you might be asking yourself, what makes this different from other recordings of this book that you may have already listened to? And I'll tell you. Not only do you have a Wolfner-produced audiobook of this Christmas classic, narrated by our fantastic volunteer Audie Klein, but you are also getting another version of this audiobook featuring many of our volunteers, sound effects, and just a dash of music. Think of this version as less of an audiobook and more of an audio drama. Your average audiobook may sound something like this.
"What do you call this?" said Joe. "Bed curtains?" "Ah," returned the woman, laughing and leaning forward on her crossed arms. "Ha ha ha ha! Bed curtains!" "You don't mean to say you took 'em down, rings and all, with him lying there?" said Joe. "Yes, I do," replied the woman. "Why not?" "You were born to make your fortune," said Joe, "and you'll certainly do it."
But we're going to give you this.
"What do you call this?"
said Joe.
"Bed curtains?"
"Ah," returned the woman, laughing and leaning forward on her crossed arms.
"Bed curtains?
You don't mean to say you took 'em down, rings and all, with him lying there?"
said Joe.
"Yes, I do," replied the woman. "Why not?"
"You were born to make your fortune,"
said Joe,
"and you'll certainly do it."
The recording of this book has been no small feat. We couldn't fit everyone into the recording booth or send everyone home with a copy of the book to study their lines, so we had to come up with a creative way to work around that. We started with Audie Klein reading the entire book and allowing him to really put his theater background into full effect. But we'll let Audie speak for himself.
Anytime you deal with a classic such as The Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, you want to make it the very best recording that you can, because it's a time-honored book that people are familiar with either in its written form or in the form of the film. It was a little difficult remembering what part I was actually reading, because I was reading the whole book. So I had to remember that I, as a narrator, needed to be different than the other voices that would be following me. It was not an easy task for the Wolfner Library staff, because they had to get all of this recording done, many times just separate individuals. And then to put that all together, that is a very creative process and not an easy process, because it is different if you have everyone in the same room recording at the same time, playing off each other as they watch the other and listen to the other person read. So hats off to those people at Wolfner who had the idea of putting this together, because I think it will be very meaningful for the patrons of the library.
After Audie's narration, The book went through its review process and its second review. Then we went through it again a third time and marked every line of dialogue and noted every place where we wanted a sound effect or some ambient noise or something to really give some atmosphere to the recording. We then cast other volunteers for roles, had them listen to Audie's recording so that they could get the proper context, and redub their dialogue over that original recording while keeping Audie as the narrator. Volunteer narrator Rick Wallace was cast as Ebenezer Scrooge, and we're going to let him tell you about playing this classic character of humbuggery.
Yes, my name is Rick Wallace, and I played the role of Ebenezer Scrooge in our recording of The Christmas Carol. It was truly a different experience for me to do that. I'm not a radio actor by any stretch of the imagination. I had a little trepidation as I was looking at it, but the production process was easy and very simple, straightforward. Prior to recording, I did sit down at home and watched the old movie with George C. Scott playing Ebenezer Scrooge, and got some ideas from him. My sense of Ebenezer is that he's a lonely old man who has earned every bit of his loneliness through his behavior with others. But still, in all being lonely, I don't see him as the shouting, truly loud and obnoxious. I sense that he's more just quiet and withdrawn, and just doesn't like being around people because people don't like being around him. And that's what I tried to convey in the story.
All said, we've had over 30 volunteers lend their voices for this book. Initial recording of A Christmas Carol began in November of 2023, and as of this recording, it's now the middle of July, and we're still recording the last few lines of dialogue. With so much time being put into this, I hope that you can see that this has been a project that many, many people here at Wolfner have felt passionate about. And we hope that you enjoy listening to it as much as we have enjoyed producing it for you. Thank you, and have a Merry Christmas. As the holiday season rapidly approaches, we wanted to share some titles with you to help get you in that holiday spirit. We've selected a few titles for people of all ages, as well as from across genres, in an effort to try and find something for everyone. Of course, we start with Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol by the Wolfner Volunteers, DBC 30907. A true Christmas story about the transformation of Ebenezer Scrooge from a miserly old grump to a charitable man filled with the Christmas spirit. This is a classic Christmas tale worthy of becoming a family tradition. Also available with a single narrator under DBC 29176. The Autobiography of Santa Claus by Jeff Gwynn, DBC 24497. This Christmas tale combines solid historical fact with a fun, enchanting story that will make anyone a believer in Santa Claus. The first book in a three-part series that includes How Mrs. Claus Saved Christmas, DBC 24498, and The Great Santa Search, DBC 24499. Skipping Christmas by John Grisham, DB 52929. Tax accountant Luther Crank calculates that a Caribbean cruise will cost less than what he and his wife Nora spent celebrating the holidays last year. Since daughter Blair is in the Peace Corps, they plan to skip Christmas. Luther, however, doesn't anticipate the town's reaction. Christmas Comes to Morningstar by Charlotte Hubbard, DBC 29216. Founded by five unmarried and enterprising Amish maidels, the new Morningstar Marketplace in small-town Missouri is preparing for a joyous Christmas season. But will the holiday also bring unexpected tidings of love? A Family Christmas by Caroline Kennedy, DB 65732. Anthology of Kennedy's Holiday Favorites encompasses poems, stories, scriptures, songs, and essays of the Christmas season. Includes her own 1962 letter to Santa, as well as works by Irving Berlin, Robert Frost, George Washington, Langston Hughes, and other notables. Christmas Ghosts by Catherine Kramer, DB 30377. Collection of 17 ghost stories dealing with Christmas spirits and ranging from humor to horror. Scary, romantic, comic, or vengeful, these big and little ghosts have all made an appearance during the Christmas season. Merry Christmas, Alex Cross by James Patterson, DB 75739. Metro Detective Alex Cross's family is dismayed when he must go out on Christmas Eve to handle a hostage situation in a ritzy DC neighborhood. 12 hours later, the Cross family Christmas is again interrupted when a terrorist targets Union Station. Letters from Father Christmas by J.R.R. Tolkien, DB 63808. A collection of Christmas letters penned by J.R.R. Tolkien and signed as Father Christmas that were sent to Tolkien's children from 1920 to 1943. Each recapped activities of the preceding year at the North Pole, including reindeer running amok and the North Polar Bear breaking the moon into four pieces. How the Grinch Stole Christmas by Dr. Seuss, DB 47536. The Grinch, whose heart is two sizes too small, tries to abolish Christmas by stealing all the presents from the people in the valley. For grades K through 3. A Mustache Baby Christmas by Bridget Hias, DBC 19425. Mustache Baby wants to be a Santa's little helper like Beard Baby, but after making a workshop full of toys, he decides to keep them for himself and lands on the naughty list. For preschool to grade 2. Christmas by DJ Herda, DB 26087. Describes the history and traditions of the Christmas season in many parts of the world. Includes popular carols and ideas for making gifts, foods, and decorations. For grades 3 through 6. Mortimer's Christmas Manger by Karma Wilson, DBC 29198. Finding the perfect place to live beside the Christmas tree, Mortimer the Mouse pushes the people figurines out of the nativity scene and makes himself at home. For preschool to grade 2. If you have another favorite Christmas story, share it with a friend and create a Christmas memory that you can share together.
Hello, and welcome to the Wolfner Podcast. I am Brandon, reader advisor here at Wolfner Library. And with me today is our newest reader advisor, Miriam Tepper. Hi, Miriam.
Hello, Brandon. How are you?
I'm good. And did I pronounce everything correctly?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Miriam. So, you know, the basic starting point we go with these is tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. My name is Miriam, obviously. And I am also, obviously, the newest reader advisor for the library. I am from Canada. I've been in Missouri since October. And what else would you like to know?
Well, we can continue on and see what we find out
here. Okay.
So, like the grand journey kind of thing, what brought you to Wolfner?
My partner brought me to Wolfner. Well, brought me to Missouri, first of all. he and I met back in undergrad in 2007. And we've been together pretty much ever since with an 8-year gap. But it was 6 years together, 8 years off, 4 years together. And I'm here because he was doing a PhD at Mizzou. And so I came down to be with him because my work schedule was a little more flexible than his was.
Yeah.
And I did something else for a little while that I wasn't too happy about. So I applied for Wolfner Library because it sounded really appealing. And I have a background in museums, and museums, like libraries, has a lot of the same values and ethics, this idea of access and access to information and access to education, and the idea that the museums that I worked in, at least, were free. Mm-hmm. So that's very important to me. And so is being able to be available for everybody. And so the Wolfner Library really appealed to me because it is that public service like a museum. And it has that access for everyone, and it is free. And I value those attributes very strongly.
Well, very cool. So what kind of museum work did you normally do? Just, this is me, curiosity.
No, I did both science and heritage museums.
Okay.
So the science museums, I was mostly a volunteer at, and I have a really deep love for bugs.
Okay.
And the science museum, it was a natural history museum, and they had a huge bug collection, and I would spend every week with live insects and spiders letting kids touch them and handle them and ask questions and that sort of thing. And that really made me very happy because there's this fear of bugs or uncertainty or lack of information. Mm-hmm. And being able to look at them in real life and handle them and that sort of thing. Again, that sort of importance of education that I value so highly, it was such a great opportunity to show mostly children how amazing these things are. And then the other museums was heritage, and I did two things there. One, which was my absolute favorite, I got to dress up like somebody from 1866. I had 7 layers of clothing on, and it was a living museum, which means we had a working blacksmith, a school where I attended classes, a general store where you could get peppermints. Like, it was a whole working museum, and I was in costume, and it was wonderful. But the other thing I do with heritage museums is gardens.
Okay. Well, yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
I know who to come to now for my bug issues. No.
yes. Wonder and amazement, Brandon. Yes.
I know that's what it's supposed to be. So you've been here, what, a grand total of 6-7 days now?
Yes, this is day 7.
Day 7? Yeah. Has anything kind of caught you off guard or surprised you a little bit?
Well, I'm from Ontario, Canada, which is more forested. It's a little more eastern. And I never knew that Amish romance was a concept. or I knew Westerns and like classic Westerns was a thing. But I didn't realize how big it was and how popular it was. And also Amish romance mysteries.
Yeah.
And I had no idea that that existed. And so between the Westerns, the pioneer romances, and the Amish romances, I'm learning all sorts of new genres that I never even conceived of.
Yep. Folks love those kind of, you know, cozy kind of romances and their, you know, Christian kind of based romances too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, what was the first book you remember reading and loving?
Go, Dog, Go.
Wow, that was early.
Yeah. I also had memorized by daycare a book on Beauty and the Beast, the Disney version. And my daycare counselor did not believe that I had memorized, that I had was actually able to read the book. And she thought I had memorized it. But no, I could.
Very cool.
Thank you.
Any favorite authors or genres of books that are kind of your, we'll call it your specialty?
My specialty. All right, I'm gonna just say it. Romance and fantasy, and combining the two, romanticy.
Romanticy.
Yes.
Big teen kind of genres that are right now. My daughters are heavy into the romanticy.
Yes, me too. But I also have a fascination with earlier works, mostly medieval. I like Beowulf and the Mabinogion and all of that. A favorite author is Mervyn Peake. He wrote at the same time as J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis. He, in fact, was also at Oxford at the time. And he was just a couple years younger, and he wrote a series called The Gormenghast. And that is, it's full of imagination. He does spend, for example, two pages on the course of a bluebottle fly through a classroom. So there's a lot of description, but it's a very rich imagination and a very rich, interesting world.
All our good fantasy writers love their descriptors.
Yes.
So, so outside of Wolfner and bugs, any hobbies? or gardening, too.
I do like to keep busy. So, yeah, bugs for sure. I love to go bug hunting. I don't catch anything.
Yeah.
I don't have a collection.
Just observe.
I just observe. Yeah. And the love of bugs got me into the love of gardening. So I'm deep into native plant gardening because it supports the insects.
Mm-hmm.
And because of ecosystem changes and that sort of thing, it's more important than ever to have and support and nurture native species to have a healthy ecosystem. So that to me is important. I like to do a lot of fiber arts. I'm a third generation weaver spinner. I don't have any weaving materials or tools with me, but back home we have quite a few looms that I used to weave on. And I do an unusual fiber arts called knoll binding.
Okay.
And knoll binding popped up around the world. The oldest example is about 8,000 years old.
Okay.
I could have that mistaken. If there's somebody out there who wants to correct me, please feel free. But the one I know is Scandinavian, and it's it predates knitting, it predates crochet, and it's a way of making thick, warm fabric that was mostly used for hats, mitts, socks.
Okay, so very northern hemispherish.
Very northern hemispherish, yes.
Okay.
Nice warm stuff.
Yes, well, very cool.
Oh, and, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No.
I love to write.
Yes.
And I love to read, and I'm working on a lot of writing projects, and I have a huge bookshelf of stuff that is waiting to be read.
As we all should have.
Yes.
Okay, Miriam. Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure, and I know our listeners and our patrons are getting to know you a little bit better by taking the calls and everything, and I know they're always happy to have a new voice to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Wolfner Talking Book and Braille Library podcast. For further inquiries on this episode, or for library service needs, you may contact us toll-free in-state at 1-800-392-2614. Out-of-state callers may reach us at 573-751-8720. By email at wolfner@sos.mo.gov or visit us online at www.sos.mo.gov/wolfner.